Engine rolling, Bob.
So, hello to all humans and perhaps any other beings that might be listening there, out there in the universe. And this is A Head Full of Ideas, a series of podcasts about various aspects of the art of Bob Dylan. And I'm your host, Chris Gregory.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Is it rolling, Bob?
So today, the subject of the podcast is Farewell Angelina, which is relatively obscure Bob Dylan song, in that his own version of the song is not very well known. This is called Farewell Angelina, The Sky is on Fire. Farewell Angelina is one of Bob Dylan's most remarkable unreleased songs. Dylan's own rather uncertain take was recorded during the Bringing It All Back Home sessions in 1965. This take wasn't released until the Bootleg Series Volume 1 in 1991. The song was then passed to Joan Baez, who recorded it as the title track of her 1965 album. She performed the song frequently in concerts many times over the years. Dylan himself has never played it live. Perhaps he considered that the song's highly striking abstract and evocative imagery was most suited to Baez, whose crystal clear angelic delivery elevates the piece. Written around the end of 1964, around the same time as his experiments with transcendent visionary poetry such as Gates of Eden and Mr. Tambourine Man, it is profoundly influenced by the work of the English Romantics and the French Symbolists. It also strongly recalls the evocation of dream landscapes in surrealist art. As in Desolation Row, 1965, Dylan invites us into a kind of alternative world which exists in parallel to our own. But is this an earthly paradise or a kind of hell? Like many of Dylan's early songs, Farewell Angelina is built around both the tune and the spirit of a traditional melody. In this case, the Scottish 19th century wailing song Farewell to Tarwathy, which featured in the repertoire of folk song collector A.L. Lloyd and folk guru Ewan McColl, and became a standard for many Scottish and Irish folk singers. Dylan may well have first heard it as performed by the Clancy Brothers. It is a winsome, if rather fearful, song in which the dangers of whaling in the icy wastes of the seas around Greenland are recounted, despite which the brave sailor is so desperate that he is prepared to risk everything. Earlier in his career, Dylan had reshaped the traditional lament Lord Franklin, another tale of the dangers of sailing in icy wastes, into Bob Dylan's Dream, a song of regretful nostalgia and a profound meditation on the vagaries of human experience over time. Here he again exploits the aching sadness of the traditional melody, while the narrator takes us on a different kind of journey into inner consciousness, pouring out a stream of evocative dream images. Farewell Angelina, like the earlier My Back Pages, shows us an artist in transition from the direct finger-pointing songs of his early career to the visionary poetic landscapes of his much-celebrated 1965-66 period. It is perhaps ironic that he may have considered the style of folk queen Baez more appropriate to the song than his own. But Baez's recording of the song was also part of her own transformation from a performer of traditional material into an interpreter of contemporary songs. On the album, she uses backing musicians, including guitarist Bruce Langhorne, for the first time. By the time she records the song, the lyrics have been considerably sharpened, presumably by Dylan himself. He seems to have shaped the song to Baez's needs, shortening it by excluding the least effective verse about a camouflage parrot and honing the imagery. Baez's singing reveals her mastery of the form of the traditional folk ballad. Although the lyrics became increasingly darker as the song continues, her perfectly consistent purity of tone is relatively unvarying. In her hands, the song becomes a creation of unique and startling beauty. The character of Angelina herself is a kind of chimera. She has no apparent substance, although she is referred to at the beginning of the song and in each chorus. There is little indication that the narrator is addressing a lover. Angelina, which is derived from the Greek term for messenger, appears to be more like a state of mind which the narrator expresses the need to move on from. Many poets have addressed symbolic angel figures in their works. In Charles Baudelaire's Reversibility, the angelic object of the poem is portrayed as the personification of the immortality which humans can never reach. Angel, teeming with loveliness, do you know wrinkles, the fear of growing old, and like a poison potion, the dread of seeing love turned into fond devotion, in eyes adored, once blue and pure as periwinkles. Angel, teeming with loveliness, do you know wrinkles? Translated Jacques Leclerc, 1958. In some of the most remarkable lines in Shakespeare's Hamlet, the eponymous hero cries in frustration, "What a piece of work is a man! How noble in reason, how infinite in faculty, in form and moving, how express and admirable, in action, how like an angel, in apprehension, how like a god." Angels are often used as poetic symbols of perfection, yet, as in Hamlet's cry of despair, they are frequently invoked to symbolise the imperfection of humanity. In William Blake's The Angel, the narrator is a maiden queen being protected by a male angel who soothes her pain. Yet the presence of the angel remains a carefully guarded secret. "And I wept both night and day, and he wiped my tears away. And I wept both day and night, and hid from him my heart's delight." Angels thus often stand for the perfect condition which human beings might aspire to, but which they will always fail to reach. Angelina, however, suggests a rather diminutive, even shrunken version of such a flawless state. It is a state of mind which the narrator desperately needs to escape from. The song begins with a series of resonant images. "Farewell, Angelina, the bells of the crown are being stolen by bandits. I must follow the sound." The bells of the crown suggests not a real king, but a jester whose mock crowns often had bells attached. There may be a hidden allusion to King Lear's wise fool. The narrator, like Lear, is being led by the nose into a world of potential madness. As the fool tells Lear, "All that follow their noses are led by their eyes, but blind men, and there's not a nose among 20 but can smell him that's stinking. Let go of thy hold when a great wheel runs down a hill, lest it break thy neck with following it." Thus the narrator's motivations are already in question. Throughout the song, arresting visual images are juxtaposed against evocations of sound. There is more music to come. The triangle tinkles, the trumpets play slow, provides us with two audible cues. The verse is full of alliteration of B and S sounds, while the clear sound of the triangle is counterposed against what may well be a funeral march. Bandits appears to shift us into a more modern Western setting, possibly that of Mexico. We then get the first of a series of changing choruses, each of which begins with the song's title and ends with a slightly delayed rhyme. "Farewell, Angelina, the sky is on fire and I must go." In each chorus, the sky will fulfil a different action. As the song becomes more and more surreal, the sky will become increasingly personified as a character, who will become more and more antithetical to the world represented by Angelina. The reference may suggest that the narrator must leave Angelina's paradise to confront the real world, which is literally alive with potential dangers. Or perhaps it is Angelina's world which is actually on fire, making the narrator's departure even more unnecessary. In contrast, the second verse begins fairly prosaically, with the narrator addressing Angelina with a sense of Zen calm. "There's no need for anger, there's no need for blame, there's nothing to prove, everything's still the same." It is clear now that Angelina herself is not responsible for his restlessness. This is followed by one of the song's most resonant images, just a table standing empty by the edge of the sea. A surreal image, such as one might appear in the paintings of Magritte or the films of Ingmar Bergman. Despite this scene of apparent calm, we then hear that the sky is trembling and I must leave. Everything in Angelina's world appears fixed, unchanging. It's as if we are being led through a spookily unruffled and eerily calm landscape. but the sky, which perhaps represents Angelina herself, is trembling, perhaps in fear or perhaps in anticipation. Or maybe the sky represents the narrator himself, as his thoughts and feelings are made manifest in the physicality of this dream world. In the third verse, Angelina's world becomes populated by various shifting figures. In a surreal twist which borrows from Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, Dylan brings alive a number of playing cards. It is a trick he will repeat in songs like Lily, Rosemary and the Jack of Hearts, 1975, and Hook's Tune, 2006. We hear that the Jack and the Queen have forsaken the courtyard, and later we are very memorably taken to the space where the Ace and the Deuce once ran wild. The playing cards, which seem to represent the spirit of chance, are in fact noticeable by their absence. Dylan's cunning use of internal rhyme, space, ace, is nicely juxtaposed against the slyly conversational, I'll see you in a while. Meanwhile, 52 gypsies now file past the guards. This apparently random image is the first hint that we are actually in a very dark place. It appears that the narrator is imposing images onto Angelina's world as his mind races through various scenarios. The line may suggest an imminent slaughter in a concentration camp, gypsies along with Jews and gays being major Holocaust victims. It seems that the paradisical world in which spontaneity and randomness are allowed to run wild has been replaced by darkly ominous forms of social control. The sky, we are informed, is now folding. The old order is collapsing. There is more suggested violence in the following verse. In a rather surreal historical juxtaposition, we see a group of cross-eyed pirates shooting tin cans with a sawn-off shotgun. While the unidentified neighbours clap and cheer this rather pointless pursuit, we hear that the sky is changing colour and I must leave fast. There is, it seems, little time left. Angelina's world is crumbling in front of our eyes. In the final two verses, Dylan illuminates this collapse with a series of luminous visions. The fifth verse is one of Dylan's most extraordinary collocations of imagery. King Kong, little elves on the rooftops, they dance Valentino-type tangos, while the makeup man's hands shut the eyes of the dead not to embarrass anyone. The initial images are drawn from a mixture of old movies and fairy tales. In the classic and much remade 1933 movie King Kong, the monstrous but ultimately sympathetic giant ape is unceremoniously and tragically murdered by shots from countless biplanes, while bestraddling that great symbol of American progress, the Empire State Building. The bizarre image Dylan creates here of King Kong dancing sexily with the elves is ominous, especially as Kong meets his end on a rooftop. What follows are some of Dylan's most evocative, if frankly scary, lines, which in themselves could be stark monochrome images drawn from old silent movies. Imagine, for instance, a close-up of the hands and then the eyes of the dead being closed. It seems that the vision of paradise, of angel land, has now disintegrated. The makeup man's hands might be seen as an evocation of evil state control, as the eyes of the dead are shut to avoid embarrassment, perhaps after a brutal war. Or perhaps the whole scenario in the song is merely some kind of art house movie. Then we get the killer lines. Farewell, Angelina, the sky is embarrassed, and I must be gone. The doubled emphasis on embarrassed is highly striking. Although the authorities try to hide the carnage they have created, there is no hiding place from the omniscient character of the sky. In its own way, the word embarrassed is more cutting than words like shocked or devastated because of its connotations of official hypocrisy. It is the sky, perhaps, from which a hard rain will soon fall. In the final verse, the mad chaos of conflict has taken over Angelina's land. But finally, this morphs into a strangely comic vision of the chaos of a fallen world. The machine guns are roaring and the puppets heave rocks, followed by the rather ominous "and fiends nail time bombs to the hands of the clocks." The puppets and fiends may appear to be cartoonish characters, but we are left with a troubling climax to the dream vision. In the final chorus, the singer declares, "Call me any name you like, I will never deny it." Dylan may be suggesting that he himself is Angelina, or perhaps that Angelina is the part of his own personality that he is rejecting because of the need to engage with a more complex and contrary world than that conveyed in his earlier, more strident message songs. Ironically, the figure who embodies that kind of idealistic consciousness more than any other is Joan Baez. After the final farewell, we hear that Angelina's world is facing destruction. The sky is erupting. Then the narrator makes his exit into another world. I must go where it's quiet, to a place of contemplation perhaps, or an escape from brutal political realities and contradictions. The song has been recorded by a number of other artists. Interestingly, some of these inflect the song with the tropes of different forms of country music. The New Riders of the Purple Sage, with former Bird Skip Battin on vocals, recorded a heartfelt version in 1976 with prominent steel guitar. John Mellencamp's 1997 version is backed by prominent violin. Tim O'Brien delivers a slightly bluegrass-flavoured take on his 1996 album of Dylan covers Red on Blonde. The song has also been performed live by Roseanne Cash. The yearning, elegiac qualities of the song seem to lend themselves to such stylizations. But Baez's version is liable to remain definitive. She delivers it straight, without attempting to twist the complex emotions within it for dramatic effects. Her version is one of the outstanding recordings of her career, marked by the sheer clarity of her delivery, making the luminous poetry of the lyrics, which she delivers with absolute clarity, prominent. Although it was never taken up and developed by Dylan, it remains an important marker in his career, representing a moment in which he embraces and celebrates his poetic and musical influences with new confidence. Well, I hope you enjoyed that, and you may be interested in looking at my website from the pen of Chris Gregory, which is at chrisgregory.org, and there's lots of stuff there, writing about Dylan and podcasts, and quite a few other subjects as well. And you can also buy the books that I've written there, one of which is called Determined to Stand: The Reinvention of Bob Dylan, which came out just last year. This is a study of Dylan's later work. And if you're feeling particularly generous, you might like to buy me a coffee. In other words, you go to a website called Buy Me a Coffee and you put in Buy Me a Coffee / Chris Gregoff. Gregoff. Don't ask me why it says that, but it does. So the basic idea is you go there and you chuck me a couple of quid or a couple of dollars or dinars or rubles. Well, no, actually not rubles, but most kind of any kind of money is okay. Right, well, I hope you've enjoyed this and see you next time. Bye.
Is it rolling, Bob?